All right. Well, good evening, everyone, and good to see you all. Hope everybody has had a good week this week, and hope everybody has been productive. I guess that's the goal, to be productive a little bit each day, and it's just good to be here tonight. And we've had some cold days here lately, cold nights, cold mornings, and today, I guess, was kind of a change of pace. As long as the wind wasn't blowing, we kind of had a day where you could have a jacket, or people like me not have a jacket. But anyway, praise the Lord for the good weather. I think we're supposed to have a front coming in toward the end of the week, and but don't let that scare nobody from coming on Sunday. And they said we may have some snow or wintry mix or something. Of course, that could change, you know, in a moment's notice. But anyway, just appreciate the goodness of the Lord this week. And we have quite a few folks to mention tonight on our prayer list, so we'll dive right in, and then we'll pray together. Let's remember Brother Alan Clayton. I texted with him today, and he's doing much better. He's not 100%, but he's almost. And so I said, we'll pray you through right up to 100%. And so let's remember him in our prayers. Let's remember Miss Dawn Daly as well. She had gotten bronchitis toward the end of last week, and communicated with Brother Jim Jr. here just a while ago. And she's not doing good with that. She's still having a hard time with that. So let's remember Miss Dawn in our prayers when we pray. Brother Trell Norton contacted me and would like prayer for Miss Connie. That's his wife, right? Okay. And so she's been sick, I guess, with some of the same stuff. And he said she's about to kick it, but the cold, that is. I really didn't mean, I don't know why in the world. That's really nothing to joke about, is it? She's about to kick the sickness, and but he still wants prayer for her. So let's remember Brother Trell and Miss Connie in our prayers. Brother Leonard Palmer, Miss Dolores, I believe he's going tomorrow for his eye checkup to see how all that's taken with the surgery that he had. And so let's remember Brother Leonard on that and Miss Dolores. Continue to remember Brother David Henderson and his therapy. Has any therapy this week?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well.
Good deal. Good deal. Amen. Well, God has truly blessed you with that operation and healing, and about wore herself out last Sunday in the sound room and this and that. But we appreciate Brother David and Miss Glenda. Also, let's remember Miss Helen Bennett. This is, for those who don't know, this is Brother Larry Bennett's mother. She has some health issues going on, and Brother Larry asked me last Sunday, would we remember her? And so let's remember Miss Helen. Let's remember our children's home and all of our children, our house parents. Let's remember Miss Ruby Harper, Harold Dolph, Ed and Marianne Sanvey, James and Shirley Townsend. Let's remember them. I believe, was Miss Shirley here Sunday? I can't remember. Okay. All my Sundays run together. But I'm glad she was here. I believe her and Brother James was here. Now I remember.
She burned her hand, remember?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
I checked her. She said she was doing much better.
Okay, great. It was somewhere up in here. Somewhere. And so thank you, Miss Lee Ellen. Let's remember Townsend's in our prayers, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Miss Mary Kelly, the Teagues, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Charlie Wilson, continue to remember Miss Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, along with all the other shut-ins, although Gerald is not a shut-in. But let's remember the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, Ken Bryant, all the rest. Of course, those serving in the military that came from the children's home. And let's remember Brother Kevin Brook, who's at Christian College, Champion Christian College. Let's remember him. All righty. Also, let's remember this coming up Sunday. CLU kicks back off. It's been a long time coming. And so I encourage you to be part of that this Sunday, 3 o'clock, from 3 to 4. From 4 to 5 is choir practice. Because you remember when we rolled the time back on Sunday nights, of course, that, you know, pushes everything else back. But 3 to 4, CLU, don't miss this first meeting of CLU. And a very special guest. And you will, if you miss it and you hear about it, you will wish you were there. So be there this coming Sunday at 3. Also, on the 30th will be our Youth Sunday. And this is also the last Sunday night of the month. And so we're going to plan on meeting down in the fellowship hall. Of course, it's too cold to meet outside. And we'll have some food. We'll probably have a little bit of music and have a little bit of preaching as well. So remember that. All right, I want to open up the floor. Oh, one more thing. Let's remember Miss C.C. Prestridge and Brother Chuck Prestridge. She had to go to the dermatologist. She had a cancerous mole removed, and she had to have on-the-spot radiation, I believe it was. One treatment of that. She has some chemo cream. But she cannot be around crowds probably for the next month. So they're going to be out of quite a while, Miss CeCe and Brother Chuck. She has some other health issues going on, but I asked for her permission to share that, and she said yes. So let's lift them up in prayer. Give them a call, send a card. All those things would be great. So maybe someone else has a prayer request, an update of some kind tonight you want to make mention of? All right, everybody is prayed up and ready to go. That is good. All right, every Wednesday night we meet in the altar. If you would like to do that tonight, meet me down here in the altar. You can pray where you're at. We can spread ourselves out and have a time of silent prayer. And then we'll come back and bring the message for tonight. And good to see Brother Chuck in the back. Been a little while, and I know he's been busy down at his job. So good to see you tonight, brother. Brother Jeff has a song for us.
When the trump
up looking right at Brother Jeff and forgot his name.
It's okay, Brother Bob.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, Dan. Well, again, it's good to be here tonight. And Lord has a certain lesson laid upon my heart for this moment. And I hope that you'll be encouraged as we share it. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts, chapter number 16. Normally, I have 3 points per message, per lesson. But tonight, I have 2 points. And as I was praying and meditating and studying, I could not get this subject off my heart. And so I know it's for all of us, but it's for somebody in particular tonight. Book of Acts, chapter number 16. Do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to summarize what's taking place here in Acts 16, and then we'll bring the lesson. Father, we come to you one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful tonight for your grace and mercy that follows us, that has been following us since our day of salvation. And we know it will continue to follow us all the days of our life. Lord, tonight I pray for the next few moments that you would speak through me the word that someone needs to hear tonight. Let us be challenged. Let us be changed. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all things in Christ's name. Amen. Book of Acts, chapter number 16. As we start this chapter, we see that Paul meets young Timothy. And that is mentioned in verse number 1. And we know that Timothy, he joins Paul on his missionary journey along with Luke, with the exception of one or two others. And verse number 1, during the latter part of verse number 1, the Bible says that, speaking of Timothy, that his mother was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And so we know that Timothy was begotten. Timothy was led to the Lord, most believe, I believe, by Paul. And coming from a mixed background. And so I know his family took a lot of heat and had a lot of battles because of the mixed background. One being a Jewish, the other being a Greek. At any rate, we see that Timothy did join Paul in his team. And we know that they delivered decrees to the churches. These decrees were to be kept. And they were made by the apostles and elders. So these decrees, basically they were for the Gentile converts. So that the Judaizers wouldn't create problems with them. And so these decrees were placed within the churches that were founded and established by Paul. Now they set out to preach the gospel and establish more churches. They soon discover that there are closed doors in their path, but also open doors in their path. And so tonight I want to take that idea and I want to share a lesson with you entitled Open Doors and Closed Doors. Open doors and closed doors. And when it comes to these open doors and these closed doors, I want to look at the closed doors as something that God uses to challenge us, to change us, to get us to rely totally upon Him when it comes to closed doors. You know what I'm talking about, those times where you thought that God would say yes to something that you thought was God's perfect will, and it wasn't God's will. And so what is God doing behind closed doors. But then I want to look at open doors and how that God strategically and sovereignly works things all together for His good. And if we can achieve that tonight, then we will accomplish the will of God. Number one, let's look at closed doors. Closed doors. In verse number 6 and 7, I want you to notice that Paul was forbidden to preach in Asia, and he was suffered not by the Holy Spirit to preach in Bithynia. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." And so we see these closed doors. Again, Paul had already established some churches, and now they have more help. They have Timothy, and he's along with them. They send out the decrees that were to be kept in the churches. And verse number 5 even says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." So there was a lot of good things taking place. The churches were established, and the attendance was growing. And so they set out in one specific direction, and it was just closed doors. Again, in verse number 6, they were forbidden to preach in Asia. Verse 7, the Holy Spirit suffered them not to preach in Bithynia. And so what do we see here? We see an apostle and his team that were, in the beginning of this, excited, having won all of these lost people to Jesus and planting these churches, and possibly they felt like they were on a roll and they were doing great. And of course it was God's will to continue on preaching and going in this direction, but it wasn't God's will for them to continue in that direction. Again, they were forbidden in verse number 6. Verse number 7, the Spirit suffered them not. Today I made this note along the closed doors first point here. And I wrote, God oftentimes closes doors around us because there's something He wants to accomplish where we're at. You know, if we are saved by the grace of God and we are a prayerful person, we read our Bibles, then when we step out into this world and we're making steps, we're working our jobs, we're taking care of our families, and there are closed doors, there is something in our way that's not allowing us to get through in the direction we feel we should go, then you have arrived at a place where God seems fit not to allow that door to open. Some reason, some way, He has sovereignly closed that door. He has barricaded that pathway. Listen, there's things even right now that I'm trying to accomplish. Not big, devastating things. I guess they could be, but there's things that I'm trying to accomplish right now. There's some loose ends that I'm trying to get tied up, and there's so many moving parts in my life right now, it could easily be overwhelming. And so you wonder sometimes, and I've wondered as of late, Lord, why am I not able to tie up any loose ends? And I always come back to the same conclusion. If God's not allowing me to move forward, and I've been prayerful, and I've been reading my Bible, and honoring Him with my life, He has closed those doors of completion because He's working on me, number one. He's allowing me to exercise a greater faith in Him. And the same for you tonight. Whatever path you're on, whatever doors that may be closed that you feel that should have opened, and you're in the midst of great difficulty, God is working on you. He's trying to bring you into a greater degree of dependence upon Him. The other day I was talking to Christy, and we were talking about different things, and I told her, I said, you know the only way through this is, what the only way through this is. And she said, no, what? I said, patience. That is the only way. I mean, literally, you are trying to wrap up so many loose ends and nothing is being wrapped up. You began to wonder, did God forget that I'm here? And so I told her, I said, the only way through this is patience. And so after a while, it really becomes clear that God is doing something big. It becomes evident after a while, because as much as you try to make things better, and as much as you try to go through doors you believe that the Lord is leading you through and everything is staying closed and undone, it becomes clear that there is a great big God who is at work doing something right where you're at. So we prayed together, and I said, well, let's just be patient. Let's just be patient. And I told her, I said, if these loose ends we're trying to tie up, if something happens and, you know, something falls through, something, you know, is disastered, or something messes up, we miss something, then guess what? It'll be missed while we're relying on God. If something happens, something doesn't get taken care of, something falls apart, something we're trying to take care of, and there's setback in the family or something like that, then there's going to be setback in the family. Things are going to fall apart, trusting God with it. But you see, the Lord has promised that He will always provide for us and give us what we need. And so it really brings you to an intersection of what's really going on. And again, I come back to the point that when there's closed doors, God is wanting us to exercise patience and faith in Him. There's no other rhyme or reason to it. You can't get mad and just leave. You can't get angry and make some kind of hasty decision just to tie up some loose end. You've got to be patient and wait for God's best. And so the only way through closed doors, or the only way dealing with closed doors, is patience. And so God oftentimes closes doors around us because there's something He wants to accomplish where we're at, and He wants to accomplish something in us. Because of this, listen to this. Because of this, these closed doors, Paul could have gotten disappointed or discouraged. Again, remember, he is going back out. He is revisiting churches. He is to preach the gospel and win people to Jesus and plant churches. He was on a roll to this point. And so for there to be resistance in his path probably made him discouraged, or could have, disappointed for sure. And so Paul, he had to recognize and realize that there's a sovereign God who is directing his steps. Sometimes in life things seem clear to us, but when we try to move forward, the door is locked. Let all of us, starting with me, let all of us try to see that a loving and caring God is redirecting us for some eternal purpose. Something is going on when there's closed doors. And so when it comes to closed doors, we see that God is forbidding Paul to preach in Asia. The Holy Spirit suffered him not to preach in Bithynia. And so with all those things taking place and where Paul's at, Paul, he just continues his trip. Now, that's closed doors. Let me say something about open doors. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of the lesson. Verse number 8 through 10, we see open doors. In verse number 8, the Bible says, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So we see open doors here. You say, how do you see open doors? Well, Paul, he either had a dream or he's seen a vision in the nighttime. And what he saw was, again, a man in this dream over Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And so in verse number 9, Paul isn't striving with the Lord because of closed doors. Again, he's probably sleeping, not striving, because he's seen a vision. Or that vision was something that he's seen awake, again, in the night sky somewhere, somehow. And I want you to notice something else that we see, actually see a biblical principle here. Okay, so there was closed doors. And now Paul was taking his time with the will of God, and he had this vision. He had this vision of this man over in Macedonia. So what's the biblical principle here? Listen to this. God often makes a way when we get out of the way. God often makes a way when we get out of the way. You thought I was going to say when there isn't no way. He does that too. But you see, Paul got out of the way. He obeyed the forbidding of the Holy Spirit not to go to Asia. And the same thing in verse number 7. And so they just continued straight course. And then in verse number 9, he's seen this vision. That's a biblical principle, that when we get out of the way, God will show the way. When we wait on Him, God goes to work. And I believe that's what's happening here. Is Paul, he got out of the way, and God started to go to work. He accepted those two closed doors, Asia, Bithynia, and because of that, in the obedience of not going that direction, he got a vision in the night. And that's how God works in our life. God often makes a way when we get out of the way. When we wait, God goes to work. That's why we're all called upon to be patient with closed doors. Because God is doing something great. Psalm 38 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope, or do I wait. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God." And so David is saying that I'm waiting on the Lord. And I'm confident in Him that He hears me when I call upon Him. And He will change my path at the right time. And so we see this biblical principle that God often makes a way when we get out of the way. Paul has this vision in the night. And now they all come together. Verse number 10. And immediately, the Bible says, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, we're still under the second point of open doors. Look, if you would, in verse number 11 and 12. I want to mention something here. In verse number 11 and 12, Paul arrives in Macedonia expecting to see the man that he had the vision of. Verse number 11 and 12. Verse 11, "Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi." So now they're there. "Which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." And so these verses tell us that Paul, again, he is obedient. There was this open door, so he went to Philippi, Macedonia. He went in that direction, and now he's there. But he saw no man. Can you imagine how Paul must have felt? Saw no man, no believer, no person who fit the bill of needing help. He arrives, and him and his men, they arrive in Macedonia, and they're expecting to see some man. I don't know if they expected to see the man in the entrance of the city. Hey, I'm the man you saw in the dream. But the Bible goes on and says in verse number 12, the last two words of this verse, that they were there certain days. Certain days. Or they were there several days. Here's another biblical principle, kind of the same as the first, but a little different. God's timing is everything. Even when going through a door, that doesn't mean immediate results. You would think the moment that they arrived in Macedonia, there would be the man. Somehow, some way, they would see him, and that would be it. But you see, even when we go through the doors that God opens for us, doesn't mean immediate results. He saw no man, no person, nowhere. And so he stayed there because he believed so hard and so strong in that vision he had. And he was so sure that God had called him to that direction, he stayed. And I'm kind of picturing in my mind Paul and his men kind of leaning up, I don't know, against a big stone at the entrance of the city. Is that him? No, he just walked on by. Is that him? He looks like he needs some help. No, he just walked on by. Day one, day two, day three. Is that him? No, that's not him either. Man, I wonder if we're going to know it when we see him. Sometimes in life, even when God opens doors and we go through those doors, we're expecting evidence of God sending us there, don't we? Or God leading in a certain direction. But many times it doesn't happen immediately. I know there's been times in my life, and listen, even currently, Lord, I know you sent me here. Lord, I know that you want my family to do this or to do that, but I really don't see a lot of fruit in it. I really don't see a lot of evidence, Lord, that you're in this thing. I guess somehow, some way, we have the idea that, you know, when God opens a door, that we're going to walk through that door and it's going to be bliss and it's going to be, you know, pie in the sky, and there's going to be money involved and riches and fame and all that kind of thing. You know, no fighting, no sickness, but that's not the case. Because God, many times, he leads in certain directions, and there's sickness sometimes. There's pain. There's adversity. And then in God's perfect timing, we can see the reason why he led us through a certain door or down a certain path. But he was there for certain days, the Bible says, looking and waiting for the reason why the Lord, through this vision, sent him to Macedonia. And so this other principle has to do with God's timing. God's timing is everything. Now, notice if you would in verse number 13. In verse number 13, we see, the Bible says, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Here we see that Paul and his men remembered the Lord's day. They remembered the Lord's day. Even though they were encountering what they were encountering, they came a long way, and they were looking and they were waiting for this certain man to come. They did not forget the Lord's day. Notice they were outside the city here. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside. So why particularly did they go out of the city? Were there not a synagogue or something along those lines, a temple where he could go to on the Sabbath? Well, if you study it out and go back and look, Jewish custom and different laws and things, you'll find out that There were actually no other places to worship, and so a riverbank would do. And God's people, of course, recorded in the Bible, but God's people often resorted by riverbanks when there was nowhere else to worship. Psalm 137 verse 1 says that we gathered by the rivers of Babylon and hung our harps in the willows. And so many times by the river would be a place of worship. Now, what I was talking about, going back and reading Jewish law and different customs, you will find out that no unrecognized religion was allowed in Philippi. No unrecognized religion was found in Philippi. And on the same token, custom says that if there were 10 committed men to God, then they were allowed access to a synagogue or have a synagogue built if there were 10 committed men. And so we see that the men went out of the city, down by the river, where there were women there. So that tells me, at that particular time, there were no men committed to God in that area. And so they went out of the city by the riverbank, and there were committed women to God there. So we find that these men were, no men were found, therefore these women were found by the river, committed women of God. But let me just say they were committed women of God ritually. These women, I believe, were women who received or who recited Scripture. They read the law. They read after the prophets. They prayed together. And if some teacher would come by, they would be open to listen to what the teacher would have to say. And it really makes perfect sense because we have Paul coming to preach the gospel, share the good news of Jesus. And so most likely these women, they were reading after the Old Testament. They were reading after the prophets and all of those things, the law. They were into Judaism and all of those things. And now here comes Paul and his men outside the city, down by the river where there was a group of women who worshiped God. And so we see that Paul, he remembered the Lord's day, and he had church regardless, but it was down by the river. Now, verse number 14 and 15, we see a woman named Lydia that gets saved and baptized. And we began to see the ultimate picture as to why those doors were closed originally. Verse number 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so we see here the salvation of Lydia. Now listen to this. Here's a couple interesting things about Lydia. Lydia was, most believe, she was born a Gentile from Thyatira, which was in Asia Minor. You remember, God forbid that the gospel, he forbade the gospel to go to Asia to be preached. So listen to this. So Lydia was born a Gentile in Thyatira of Asia Minor. That town, Thyatira, was famous for making purple dye. The Bible says that she was a seller of purple. And so why, and what's the reason why she's in Philippi? Well, probably she learned the craft, and she took the trade over to Philippi and applied herself with her own business, possibly. Lydia, the businesswoman. Now, purple is the color of royalty. And so in those days, This purple color, it was in high demand. It was like a status of a person. If they were wearing purple, it meant that they had some money. They were high up on the ladder, you know, socially. And so the color purple, it was in high demand. It meant royalty. But also this job that Lydia had was kind of scandalous to the Jews because it involved shellfish or marine snails, which are rendered unclean to the Jews. And so literally thousands of shellfish had to be crushed for a yard or two of a purple cloth. Thousands. The Jews rendered this unclean, but yet this was something she was doing, and she was doing great at it. The Bible mentions in verse number 15, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house." So not only did she move from Thyatira with the trade, but she got to working and bought her own house. See, and I'm starting to realize this the longer I'm married, that God really blessed us with the womankind. Because my wife, Christy, and I know you are too, some of you men can say that about your wives, but she's a worker. Women just, they have something men don't have when it comes to, I don't know, I guess details, or they have in the garden, that's what God said to Adam. It's not good for man to be alone. We needed a helpmate. And so women have that nature about themselves. They're hard workers. They're detail-oriented. They're going to make it. And so Lydia went from Thyatira to Philippi, started selling this purple, bought her a house, and was dependent on nobody. Now, let me mention this. Lydia, although a Gentile, she worshiped the God of the Jews. Meaning, she basically followed Judaism, most believe. And she knew of God, but she didn't know God personally until now. Now, look at verse 14 again. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us." Says she heard us. Now, the word heard or heard us basically means that she was locked in. She was focusing. She was really listening. And I believe in her mind, spiritually, she was trying to connect the Old Testament and what the prophets said and Judaism and all of that. But also she is trying to connect that to what Paul is saying, that the Messiah had come. And the Messiah, Jesus, he was the one that was going to pay for the sins of the world. And so he was preaching the good news, the New Testament. And so she was trying to make out what's what, and she heard him. You know, you can be listening to someone and not hear them. You know that. But when you really pay attention to someone when they're speaking to you, you can really hear them. And we live in a busy world, and it's easy sometimes when someone's talking to you to just listen, but not hear them. And so Lydia, she heard Paul, meaning she was locked in. She was thinking spiritually of all the Old Testament scripture and the law. But now she heard of the good news of Jesus, and God opened her heart, and she attended unto the words of Paul. Verse number 14, Bible says, God, and then it says, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended or gave heed to unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Here we see God given opportunity, but man having responsibility at the same time. So the gospel was preached. God opened her heart. And she attended or gave heed unto the things that she heard. And because of that, God didn't make her get saved. God didn't force her to get saved. The gospel was preached. He opened the heart. And she attended to those words, and she was saved. So we see that Lydia got saved. No longer is it knowing of the God of Israel. She knows the God of Israel. She and those at her home, some got saved as well, and they all got baptized, verse number 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And so, in other words, if you see true salvation in me, come on in and abide here. And so we know that, again, not only was her conversion, but those in her household got saved and baptized as well. And some people actually say that Lydia was the first woman from Asia Minor to get saved. Think about it. Isn't that amazing? And she wasn't even in Asia Minor. Also, many believe that she had a great big hand in starting the church in Thyatira, meaning she went back home to tell everybody what she found. Revelation talks about the church of Thyatira. We preached on that church several times. And so you say tonight, "Brother Justin, what's what? What are you talking about?" Well, I'm talking about closed doors and open doors. And we can draw strength from this, because not only this was something that God did in Paul's life, but I believe it's Bible principle. And I believe sometimes God, He sovereignly... Let me just illustrate. He sovereignly sometimes he closes doors just like that. And we may feel, "Well, Lord, I certainly thought that my future was down there." And we don't understand, do we? We don't understand. We don't know why God does that particularly. But we begin to understand that there's a reason that door's closed, and it probably has everything to do with me trusting Him more, exercising patience more. So we have a closed door. Many times God does that in our life. He closes doors. But then, at the right time, maybe even the same door, or another door, He opens doors. And in Paul's situation, there was a door closed to go to Asia Minor, but there was a door open in Macedonia. And I think it's really neat that God was in control even when Lydia thought about moving from Thyatira to Philippi. God was even orchestrating. Even when Paul was nowhere around, we don't know how long Lydia was there in Philippi, but God used that. He closed the door on Paul not to go to Asia, because at least one person, Lydia, was on the side of a riverbank, having moved from Thyatira here to Philippi, a businesswoman that needed to get saved. And so because Paul chose to believe the Lord and be patient and to trust His sovereignty, he's seen the reason, at least one reason. Now, many people say that Philippian jailer also, or said that was the man. Well, whatever. He got saved too. You may be here tonight. You may be thinking, "Well, Brother Justin, I just don't know about all that." Well, I believe you do. Everybody's here. Everybody that's here has been here before, and you've heard much preaching and teaching, and you've read your Bible. And if you are experiencing setback, closed doors, the best advice I can give you is from the Bible, and that is, be patient. Stay connected in prayer. Keep reading your Bible, even if it's just a verse a day, a word. And be looking for God to give direction, because He has a purpose. There's a purpose for the pain. There's a purpose for the setback. We just got to trust Him. And when He finally opens the door, we go through it, we're going to be much more mature. And our faith will be much more sharper to trust Him. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are. We thank You, Lord, for what You do. And Lord, that is much easier said and preached than lived. It's much easier preaching the gospel than living the gospel. But we do thank You for what You do. Because Lord, we know that You're our Father and we're not forsaken. And so therefore, if there is something in our life that is just a dead end, that's not happening, there is a purpose. Let us just apply patience. That's the only way through it. And Lord, help us to just grow a little stronger in You, believe a little deeper. And at the right time, just as Peter said, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, in due time He will exalt us. Lord, at the right moment, You'll open that door in someone's life, and they'll begin to see the reasons why they were held back. Thank You, Lord, for this story tonight of closed doors and open doors. I pray that You'll take it to the heart that needs it the most. Let it be a blessing and encouragement to everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Anybody have anything they want to mention before we turn the page? Well, thank you for paying attention. You did great, as always. And Lord willing, if we don't see you before, we'll see you on Sunday. So everybody be safe. You're dismissed.